what you see. Oh, be careful, little eye, what you see. For the Father up above, He is looking down in love. So be careful, little eye, what you see. Anybody else learn that song growing up? A bunch of you? Yeah. You probably remember that it goes on with, oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. And maybe a little mouth, what you say. There's a whole bunch of little body parts, you know, that we use with little children. And don't hear what I'm not saying this morning. It's a sweet song. Every kid needs to be warned occasionally that choices have consequences, right? We talk about that around here all the time. Your choices matter. I love that it refers to God the way this song did this morning. He's a good father, you know. He's a father looking down in love. What a beautiful way to describe God to a child. There's also a bit of a challenge in that those lyrics probably fall short of something we hear Jesus teach repeatedly. In fact, he's speaking about it in this little section of the Sermon on the Mount that we're exploring together from now till Christmas. We're calling it Treasure. Leslie kicked it off last week with just a fantastic sermon. If you missed the first message in the series last week, please catch up on it. One of the things she talked about is that when it comes to our good deeds, that the ultimate reward is what happens in me, not necessarily what other people see. That's like a bonus. It'll happen. But the reward is what's happening in me, who I'm becoming. It was so good last week. The treasure you want is the treasure you get, she said. And so go catch up on it. And right after what Leslie looked at in the sermon with us last week, Jesus bears down again on this whole theme. He's going to hit on it for a while about inside and outside. And he takes on some of the conventional wisdom, and I think it might even provide a little important correction to that childhood song that we learned. Here's what he says. The eye is the lamp of the body. Therefore, if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how terrible that darkness will be. Now notice this distinction that he's making here. It's not what you see, according to Jesus. It's how I see. How I see has something to do with what gets inside me. It's a very important distinction. So we can keep the song. We might just want to change one word. Oh, be careful, little eye, how you see. Oh, be careful, little eye, how you see. Is your eye bad or is your eye healthy? Oh, be careful, little eye, how you see. I'm kidding. I literally made that line up on the spot. I felt like a second grade teacher all over again. This is a really important distinction with a huge difference. And Jesus talks about this kind of stuff all the time in the sermon, at other places when he's talking to people. Later on in the book of Matthew chapter 15, he calls a crowd and he says something to them about our little mouths. Listen and understand, it's not what goes into the mouth that contaminates a person in God's sight. It's what comes out of the mouth that contaminates a person. What? I mean, they had all kinds of purity laws and all kinds of stuff about what goes into your mouth. Constantly they were monitoring what goes in. And Jesus says, let's not miss the point here, people. The point eventually is what's happening inside. That's what really matters in this ballgame of becoming human. And so I'm going to proclaim some good news to us today that I just think it's beautiful news. I think it's helpful. I hope it'll be helpful to somebody in this room. We see what our eyes are trained to see. Learning how to see aright leads to inner transformation from darkness to light. Now I feel like Dr. Seuss. We see what our eyes are trained to see. Learning how to see aright leads to inner transformation from darkness to light. I don't know how to underscore this idea enough. I really don't. I'm going to take a few minutes and give it another try today. We talk about it a lot. Our foundational practice for becoming is to learn from Jesus how to notice God at work in and around me. It all starts with how we see. Because how we see affects everything. It can change everything, like it did in Lawrence's. When Lawrence all of a sudden started to see good news instead of bad news he'd been hearing forever, he saw good news, and the good news was available for him. Something began to shift when he realized Jesus has good news. See, I think Jesus knows that because we're being trained everywhere else to see in all kinds of other ways that do not reflect his kingdom, he knows we don't always see things for what they are. We project our own biases onto what we're seeing. That whatever we see out there is always getting filtered by this right here. This eye I'm carrying with me everywhere that I go. And Jesus is basically saying, what kind of eye do you have? I spy with my little healthy eye, or I spy with my little bad eye? Jesus says that actually is the game changer here. Is your eye even capable of seeing and naming what's good and true? Has your eyesight been developed sufficiently so that you can see what's good and holy and loving and what looks like God at work in and around you? Or do you just have absolutely no idea how to see like that? Left to ourselves, I think it would be the latter. And so Jesus gives this important correction. Are you even capable of seeing things that are good and true? Or are you so trained to see things that are evil or greedy or filled with malice that you don't even know how to differentiate between those realities? Jesus, interestingly, drops this little piece in between two warnings, and I don't think, after studying it, that it's accidental on Jesus' part that he does this. Leslie talked to us about one of them last week. Her warning essentially was, be careful what you think's a treasure, because it's not always the treasure you think it is. Don't just evaluate a treasure on its face. There may be more to see, right? And then when we're done here, Jesus, over the next few weeks, we're going to see him talk about that if you want the treasure in God's kingdom, if that's what you want more, it's going to require something bigger than a part-time adventure. To follow Jesus and to surrender to God's love will require everything. And that's a significant warning. And somewhere in the middle, he interrupts those two and reminds us that the things we project value onto sometimes have no value at all. We just can't see them for what they really are. Better, I'll say, than be careful, little eye, what you see, which matters. So don't hear me saying that doesn't matter. But more importantly than, ooh, I don't want to get contaminated by something my little eye happens to see. Maybe it's about, be careful, little eye, how you see. What kind of eyesight, what kind of vision, what kind of seeing has your eye been developed to see? Because it's possible we would see something that looks so attractive and that looks like treasure to me. Like, who wouldn't want that? And maybe a lot of people do want that. But it's possible the way we see it turns it into an idol because we're seeing it with our little bad eye. And if we were seeing it with a little healthy eye, maybe we would be surprised that that's not nearly as important as a lot of people think it is. Maybe sometimes we make bad investments with our one and only life. Maybe sometimes we fail to join God in a full-hearted, all-in adventure in this one and only life we get on this planet simply because we're not able to see what's actually valuable and what's not. Because we haven't taken a lot of practice to develop that eyesight yet. And friends, I think Jesus is offering us good news. We see what our eyes are trained to see. Learning how to see aright leads to inner transformation from darkness to light. And I'm so glad that we're not just stuck here with no option for moving forward, because we can learn from Jesus how to see. Amen? I may not know how to see. Jesus does. And Jesus invites me to be his apprentice, his disciple, his learner, so to speak. We sang about it this morning. Those songs bring so much joy to me. We sang, "He's a good, good father, and I know who I am." As we like to describe it a lot, I'm a much-loved child of a good, good father. Amen? I know that's who I am. And once I can see that, not everybody sees that, but once my eye is capable of seeing I'm that dearly loved, listen to me, friend. If I'm that dearly loved, I can let God meet me in reality because there's nothing I have to hide from a father who loves me that much. Amen? Parents and grandparents, have you often thought that about your children or your grandchildren? You know they're hiding something. You found that note in the trash can in the bedroom. You're like, why do they think I'm so stupid? I won't look in the trash can in the bedroom, right? Or whatever that is, you checked their text while they were asleep. I don't know what you do nowadays in a digital world. We looked in trash cans. You have to look other places. But if you're looking at your kids and you're thinking, I wish you would just tell me this. I love you. There's no risk in you telling me. I'm for you. I'm going to help you, right? There's nothing you could do. There's nothing, no matter how bad it is, I'm not going to forgive you or be for you or help you walk through it. Right, Mom and Dad? Well, if we're as messed up as we are and we could feel that way about our children, think how our good, good father must look at us. He says, just come meet me in reality. I don't care how good, bad, or ugly it is. You're loved this much. You could trust this love this much. Come be real with me about it. It's what we teach in Get Real Group. And when we do, we begin to see things as they really are because we're not hiding them anymore. We're not managing them anymore. We're not in denial about them anymore. We're real with them now. We call that awareness. In fact, we have this Get Real Wheel tool that we use in Get Real Groups that I'm going to show you this morning again about how this works. Essentially, this is where I'm learning to see. I have this awareness of noticing God at work in and around me, and I'm learning to pay attention. We actually think that happens best when you're in a tribe of other people who are doing that, and maybe somebody who's helped coaching you and guiding you to that, because we don't all have a whole lot of experience with it, you know? So it's part of the beauty of being part of a tribe like this, where people can help this happen for you till you get a little better. Then you get to help somebody else. But first we gotta see. And then eventually I drop down here and I can bring these things into alignment that I'm seeing. Is there some lie I've been believing about what's really valuable and what's not? What's the lie I've been telling myself about God or about that other person or about the world, about me? And once I can name the lie, I can see it. It's a lot easier to see the truth. Oh, I see where I'm getting tripped up. Here's the truth that replaces that lie, and I bring myself back into alignment with the truth instead of the lie that I've been seeing and living by all this time. And then I can move back up to action and say, now I get to surrender to God's love again. Leslie used our description of surrender last week. I begin to act as if the truth is really true. What if I just started living the truth instead of acting like the lie is true, which is what I've been doing? How crazy is that? What if I just decided I'm going to live like this is true? Like God does have good news for my marriage. Like he might actually do something so transformative in me, it could save my marriage. Lawrence began to see something he hadn't seen before. He began to get honest about the lies and the truth. And he began then to take action that his wife saw and a year later says, can we date again? I don't know a more beautiful example of this process. It's just that most of us aren't that good at it. We didn't really probably learn it anywhere. The life out there doesn't really teach us that much. The life out there says, hide it all. Be in denial. Don't tell anybody. You can't trust anybody. Don't get real with God. That's the last being you want to get real with. Right? And you come and be part of a church like this that says, you are so loved, you'll never be able to imagine how loved you are. You can take whatever risk you want. And every time you learn to see a little more clearly, something good and light will happen in your soul. Your whole being can be full of light when you learn to see with your healthy little eye. We have this other tool we've been talking quite a bit about lately that we always put in the middle of the Get Real Wheel, this words, works, once triangle. They actually work together beautifully because the truth is we often stay above this waterline. We say in just our words and works. So mostly what I worry about is, am I believing the right stuff and am I behaving well? Those matter. they're just insufficient for transformation. Nobody became transformed from the inside out just because they acted good and they checked somebody's list of beliefs off. We get transformed when we get below the waterline and pay attention to what's going on in my heart. What do I really want? What's happening deep in my soul? Could I get honest with God about that? And again, it works with this wheel out here. My words and works above the waterline, I start to notice things happening up here. And then I begin to pay attention with alignment to the lies and the truth I'm telling in here. And then I come back around up here to my words and works again, and I'm surrendering my life to Jesus in real ways. It shows up in my behavior. It shows up in my beliefs. But now it's coming out of surrender. I'm so confident as a much-loved child of God, I'm just going to live like it's true and see what he does. That's how we learn from Jesus to see. In fact, over here we describe it this way. I notice God at work in and around me. Awareness. The second practice under learn from Jesus, I choose what I want more. That's alignment. Do I want to keep living the lie or do I want to live the truth? And then I surrender to God's love. That's action. I actually live in my real life like that good news as true as I'd like to believe it is. Friends, this is the transformation Jesus offers. We see what our eyes are trained to see. Learning how to see aright leads to inner transformation from darkness to light. If we don't start with how we see, all those other good things that come along, they can't come along unless we start there. Jesus says, oh, be careful, little eye, how you see. Be careful, little eye, how you see. Don't forget, there's a Father up above. He's always looking down in love. You could trust him. You could come to him. He'll help you learn how to be careful, little eye, how you see. This is good news. When we learn how to see out of healthy eyes, our whole being is full of light. The Apostle Paul at one point described it this way. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people. Help me out with this. Who live in the what? That's our destiny. That's the dream. All God's people, full of light, living in the light, you know? Notice this. He rescued us from the kingdom of what? And he transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son where we can learn from Jesus how to have a being full of light. This, I'll reiterate, is the good and necessary work that our church does. When we are equipping people to become an unstoppable source of God's love that changes our world, when we gather in groups and gatherings so that we will together as God's people called Meadow Heights learn to see everything through the lens of love. And then when we're finally able to know it's happening is when we can look at these practices and say, yeah, I think I see that one in my life right now. I think I see that one in my life. I'm pretty sure that's happening a little more. We start to sort of measure or metric us by those things and say, when that's happening, it's evidence that transformation is occurring in me. Here's the clincher. I'll repeat Leslie from last week. The treasure you want is the treasure you get. And by the way, that's actually good news. Did you know that? God doesn't force any treasures on us. He presents them. Jesus has a whole sermon we're looking at here where he's saying, let me describe it to you. Let me describe to you this new thing I'm doing called the kingdom of God. Let me invite you into it if you want it. It could be like this, people. And he just keeps pounding away at how good this good news is. But at the end of the day, we all get to decide. Do I want to keep living in the old world order that everything else is training me in? Or do I want to be apprenticed to Jesus and learn from Jesus how to live in the kingdom of love now and forever? That's the invitation. A couple of weeks ago, I shared with one of my Get Real groups a kairos that I've had, something I've noticed. I noticed that I have almost forgotten how to delight in doing things I love. Or, if I wanted to say this in keeping with Jesus' sermon today, I would say, I think my eye began to go bad, and I noticed my whole being was filling up with darkness as a result. All of a sudden, I could see it. felt like God was doing that. And Jesus says, if the light in you is darkness, how terrible the darkness will be. If you've known the light and now it's getting dark, ugh, that's a horrible place to be. And I was feeling kind of the weight of that. I was beginning to feel like even all the stuff I love to do, it was all a burden to me. I just want to check it off the list. You ever use the phrase, we just got to get through this? If I could just get through this day, if we could just get through this project, if we could just get through this week, if we just get through this holiday, we'll all be saying that before long, you know? And it's not something enjoyable to do anymore. I'm just trying to get through it. I love to cook, as many of you know, and cooking supper feels like it's been few and far between opportunities lately. And even when it was, all I could think about was, oh, I guess I got to cook supper, because that's kind of our arrangement. My wife is a good cook. She doesn't like to cook. So I cook, she cleans up. Now, she preps things a lot of times. She helps with that. Or sometimes it's just like a Sam's Club night, like get the lasagna out of the freezer. Can you put that in the oven, please? And that's what we have, you know? Everybody has those nights. I found myself not wanting to cook because all I could think about was, I have to cook. And I love to cook. It's like my happy place. It's relaxing. It's therapeutic to me. And I was missing it. All of a sudden, I had awareness. That little wheel we had, bring that back up again for a minute, Jim. I had awareness, you know? And I had to name the lie I was believing. I have to cook supper. I hate to cook supper. Why am I always the one cooking supper? All these things have been going through my head and in my heart and just messing me up on the inside. Instead of, the truth is, cooking heals me. And the kitchen's a great place to be. And I love to cook supper. I delight in cooking supper. And once I could see that and align myself with what was true, I was able to come up and take action and surrender. I'm just going to act like what I know to be true is true. I grabbed a couple of old favorite recipes I hadn't made in forever. I'm like, I'm going to try this tonight. I'm like, man, that's so good. I can't believe I made that. You ever cooked and thought that? I can't believe that came out of my kitchen. I felt that feeling again, you know? A couple of new things I've been wanting to cook. I'm like, I'm going to try a couple of those recipes, you know? Just put myself out there. They're amazing. But all of a sudden, I was feeling something again because I was acting like it's true, and it is. I love to cook. This is a good thing for my soul. But I'd begun believing a lie about that. And just in that little discrete place of reality in my life, I surrendered to God's love, and the darkness in me began to flee. Because the truth is, friends, I am a child of the light. Amen? I'm a much-loved child of the Father. I've been rescued from the kingdom of darkness. And God has transferred me to the kingdom of his dear Son. I'm just not always good at living in that reality. I've got a lot of practice in a few other realities. And every once in a while, they still suck me back in. And I realize I need to learn to see. How to see matters. Imagine this with me. Just imagine this. What if hundreds of hikers this week were all able to see what God wants them to see? What if the blinders were off? What if all of us had healthy little eyes? What would that look like in your world? How would it change something in your life in little ways, big ones? I'm going to read this to you again. Listen to me, people of God. He's enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. He's rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I want you to read that last sentence with me out loud. Can we read that together? He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Yes, he has, my friend. Yes, he has. And this is really good news. We see what our eyes are trained to see. Learning how to see aright leads to inner transformation from darkness to light. And that's really good news because Jesus offers that to you right now. Learn from Jesus because he knows how to see. Amen?